want you to think about something beautiful. Maybe it's a place you visited. Maybe it's artwork you've seen, music you've listened to. Maybe it's a person. There is so much beauty around us. I think about places I've been. Places like the Cathedral of Notre Dame in Paris, Westminster Cathedral in London, the Basilica of Notre Dame in Montreal. They are beautiful. I've stood before paintings and statuary by Michelangelo, Da Vinci, Caravaggio, Van Dyck, Van Gogh, Monet, Matisse. I've listened to operas and symphonies and Broadway shows. And also, I've seen the Grand Canyon, the Adirondack High Peaks from the top of a mountain. I've swum in the Great Salt Lake in Utah, the Caribbean Sea at Vieques, dipped my toes in a glacier-fed Alaskan stream. I have seen sunrises and sunsets and starry skies all across this country, marveled at all manner of flora and fauna, and I marvel every day at the beautiful faces of the people I love, especially my husband and my daughter. Beauty surrounds us. Beauty that's been made by human hands, but also beauty that is created by God. Often when human-made beauty takes our breath away or moves us to tears, we reflect on the author or the composer or the painter. What wisdom, we think. What creativity, imagination, inspiration. Do we think the same thoughts about God? Do we remember to say thank you for the beautiful sunrise, the breathtaking view of hill and stream, the inspired creation of flower bulbs that burst through snow-covered ground every spring? Do we marvel at the mind that imagined both the mollusk and the muskox? Do we bow down before the author of blueberries and bamboo? I love that the author of Proverbs describes God's audience at the creation. The spirit of wisdom was present with God in that first garden, the paradise we call Eden, watching God's mind at work, creating wonder after wonder in all its fabulous breadth and variety. And then the revelation of John describes another garden, the new Jerusalem, the one where the earth is restored to its original intention. And John's vision speaks of completion. The tree of life at the city center bears 12 fruits in their season. The city is bounded by 12 gates, 12 being a number that represents completeness in Scripture. Watered by the river of life, the leaves of this tree will bring healing for the brokenness of the world. And the city is filled with light always, light that illumines everything and comes directly from God and from Jesus. And there is nothing in this city that can hide in shadow. There is no place the light cannot reach. And all 12 of those city gates are wide open and unguarded. All may enter here and live in paradise again. The arc of Scripture leads us from garden to garden, from conception to completeness. And wisdom saw all of this from the beginning and listened as God entrusted the creation to humanity. Then wisdom tried to be present, to lead and to guide, to call and to pursue humanity. Find me, know life in all its fullness. Wisdom calls aloud in the public square and at the city gate, seeking to pour out knowledge about God's intention for the world from the beginning of time. Knowledge of God's gifts of beauty and abundance, of God's gifts of providence and love, of how God created a world full of resources sufficient to meet the needs of all the world's creatures. And like the spirit of wisdom, Jesus too was present at the creation of the world. Gospel writer John declares, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made." Jesus knew the creation intimately and understood the interconnected relationship of every living thing. And like wisdom, Jesus, too, called to the people and told of those gifts of beauty and abundance of providence and love, seeking to impart this wisdom to the world. In telling people how God cares for them, he pointed to the birds of the air and the flowers of the field. Look at how God feeds them, clothes them. Look at how God cares for them. Now, often we read this scripture from Matthew and reflect on the words, "So don't worry, God will take care of you." Today, I suggest we take a second look at this scripture and maybe think it for just a minute outside of ourselves. Because in addition to telling us not to worry, Jesus says, look at the resources God has provided for others, for the creation, for the birds and the flowers. When air and water and soil are healthy and harmonious, look at how those thrive. But also, look what happens when their air, their water, their soil becomes depleted or polluted. Look at how they fail to live up to their potential. So seek God's kingdom, says Jesus, God's righteousness. Hear how wisdom cries aloud to us today. For those who find me find life, receive favor from the Lord, but those who fail to find me harm themselves. We are stewards of this creation, this kingdom of God's on earth. How we do our jobs as stewards of this realm impacts the whole interconnected web of the creation. This past Friday, people around the world marked the 52nd celebration of Earth Day in a variety of ways. People gathered to clean up trash in parks and along highways. They planted flowers and trees. They cleaned waterways. They proposed or lobbied for legislation to reduce carbon emissions and the use of fossil fuels. The first Earth Day in 1969 looked like teach-ins on college campuses. And then millions of Americans from all along the political spectrum were inspired by this heightened awareness of the impact of the industrial age on our planet. And so by 1970, Earth Day looked a little different, and it led to the development of the EPA, to OSHA, to the Clean Air and Clean Water Acts, and the Endangered Species Act. In 1990, Earth Day became a global institution. Today, it is recognized as the largest secular observance in the world. According to the Earth Day website, more than 1 billion people every year view Earth Day as a day of action to change human behavior and create global, national, and local policy changes. And you might wonder why a United Methodist pastor is talking about a secular event. Well, my friends, it's because for people of faith, environmental stewardship is part of our calling. If we take seriously our God-given responsibility and employ the gift of wisdom, we find life. And if we fail to, we cause harm, not just to ourselves, but to the entire web of life. The social principles of the United Methodist Church explicitly state, all creation is the Lord's, and we are responsible for the ways in which we use and abuse it. Water, air, soil, minerals, energy resources, plants, animal life, and space are to be valued and conserved because they are all God's creation, and not solely because they are useful to human beings. We should meet these stewardship duties through acts of loving care and respect. So as I said earlier, next Sunday, we're going to start this worship series entitled Holy Ground. On the Sundays in worship, I'll be presenting scriptures that remind us of the holiness inherent in every aspect of the creation. During the season, though, there are also going to be opportunities outside of worship to look at our environmental stewardship. Watch for more information to be coming to you, but we're going to have a movie night with a discussion to follow, or maybe a movie afternoon. We're still picking the best time. We're going to have some conversation times around simple things that you and I can do in our homes to lessen our environmental impact. We're going to share resources and pool ideas, recommit ourselves to our stewardship work in ways that honor and praise the author of the creation. And to help you start thinking creation stewardship thoughts, This week, I encourage you, and this will be the email that you get later today from me, I encourage you to seek out artwork that celebrates the creation and the one who created it. Read or compose a poem, a psalm, a song, a bit of prose. Memorize it if you can. Paint a picture. Study a photograph. Compose a dance. See. Really take the time to see the beauty that surrounds you. Remember who created it. Honor the Creator with your words and with your actions. Find wisdom. And in so doing, find life. Amen.